I will make you a statement right here, that when you get a hold of the fact that he, and it really becomes a revelation to you, I have died so you should not sin anymore. So you should die to sin. So when you really die to sin and you live unto righteousness, you won't never, ever have to have anybody pray for you ever again, because you won't never be sick. Because what he says right after that is, by my stripes you are healed. But when we get into sin, it's amazing what that does, isn't it? Now then, I know none of you, especially some of you little ladies, you know, that are so kind and gentle and can come to church with your finest dresses on and everything. You can be a holy terror at home. Some of you can be mean. You know, you can be angry. You can get into rage. But you would never do that if the pastor was there to dinner. Even if your husband did, you could, might say, like that old story. You know, I don't even remember. It's been so many years ago I heard this. But it was some Cajun song or story or whatever. And mother was wanting Marcel, or whatever his name was, to be sure, and when he put the butter knife in the butter, she said, one day he reached over and got him a slice of butter and put it on his bread and put it back, and she reached over and slapped him. She said, how many times do I have to tell you before you put that butter knife back in the plate, you lick it off? Oh, goodness gracious. What one mama wants him to do, another mama would slap you across the table if you licked off the butter knife, right? So see, you can't please them all. They're all different. Depends on where they were raised up and what they were raised up in. So, but some of those little girls can be a... Now, us guys, y'all already know that about guys. You know, guys, we can be... We're the hard guys at home. We're the hard guys at work. You know, we're hard to get along with and all this kind of stuff. You guys are just mean. And you don't believe that? You ask any wife, almost any wife, about her husband, and she'll tell you, if you really get her down, yeah, he's not the nicest guy in the world to live with. He's a little hard to get along with. He's a man. He's a man. So, girls, we're made different than y'all are, but God told you to love us anyway. You know, so you have to love if you want to walk in divine health. Now, there... If you forgive anybody's sins, they're forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they're unforgiven. Now, boy, when you forgive those sins and step over in the God kind of faith, in the God kind of world, it changes everything, doesn't it? Well, JC's mother-in-law got healed that day. And I mean to tell you, like he said, the next morning she was setting up. And I think it was Thursday when he did that. And I think by Saturday or whatever it was, she was out shopping with Carolyn. Yeah, and so she was healed. Now then, see, somebody says, but my mother is the most kind, wonderful woman, and she's sick. Well, you only know mama from a certain perspective, but God looks on the heart. He knows what's going on in mama's heart. He knows that if it's kind of like a giver, God says, how many of you know God says, I love a cheerful giver? You've heard that? So you're like the guy at church says, okay, if I got a tithe, I heard that preacher say I got a tithe. Okay, God, I'm going to give it, but I don't want to. That's what's going on in your heart. So you may say, oh, Lord, I'm smiling. We shouldn't get it taken out, Lord. I love you so much. But inside you're saying, I hate it that I have to give you that money. But you might as well keep it. Because you ain't going to get no reward. He knows what's going on in here. I only see what it looks like on the outside. And the guy said, well, I've been a tither all my life, and I ain't been blessed. I said, you weren't a cheerful tither. You know? And they're not. Do you know when you do what God says and you do it the way He says it, do you know He blesses your socks off? And do you know you don't have to be sick? You know, He promised that. But just think. Although I was going to church, in church, walking in love, doing everything I knew, a man of integrity, doing everything I knew to do, but still had all the sickness and disease that I had until I was about 40-something years old. Until I finally received the King as my healer by faith in His Word. When I did, I don't get sick no more. Thank you, Jesus, I don't get sick no more. I took that word out of my vocabulary. I can work night and day. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about Dave out there this last week, wearing his short sleeve shirt, his short britches, driving the tractor, shoveling dirt, sun beaming straight down. 5 years ago, if he'd have walked outside like that, he'd have died. Oh, he'd have thought he would anyway, wouldn't you, Dave? His skin weeped and oozed, and he had sores all over him. There ain't no way. But yet, today, 5 years later, that man sitting right over running this projector and everything for me, that guy was completely healed. And, of course, the beautiful part about it is, you know, when he was sick like that, couldn't have no children or nothing else, and married to this beautiful girl. You know, they wanted children. But after he got healed, they started having babies. And now they got two that are bouncing around here, and they got a third one in the hangar. You know, it hadn't come out yet. But you're going to have a third one here for too long. Who knows how many they may have before this is over, you know? But I told them yesterday, they was out there where we had all them big old tractors and all that stuff running, and some of the girls were out there, and they had the little ones out there with them. I told them little John was out there. Of course, he's only 2.5 or so years old, whatever. And how many of you know a little 2.5-year-old, he wants to be in everything? He wants to look at everything. He wants to see the tractors. He wants to be in the screw bucket. You know, he wants to be out there everywhere. And I told him, I said, a construction site is not a place for a 2.5-year-old. I said, if you bring him out here, you got your eyes on him 110% of the time. You don't turn around and talk to somebody and take your eyes off that baby. So I said, if you got him out here, you don't do that. Because you in 30 seconds, you know where that boy can be? Under the wheel of a tractor. That's right. Guarantee it. I said, if you're going to have him out here, you've got your eyes on him 110% of the time. And if you can't do that, then you take him back inside if you've got to talk to somebody. Because if it's the last thing we want to do, it's want a little guy get hurt. Amen. You know. Now, I told them two stories yesterday. When I lived in Highland Village years ago, there was a man out there clearing those lots to build houses. And he had about a 3 or 4-year-old son. I stopped by there one day. That little boy's running around out there, and Daddy's driving a small bulldozer. I said, sir, is that your son? He said, yeah. I said, sir, you don't, that a job site where you're clearing brush to build houses is not a place for this little guy. Oh, he said, he would say he's out of the way. I said, but sir, you never know, he might crawl in under a brush, and you wouldn't know it. Oh, he said, he watches where I'm at. It wasn't a few months I heard that man ran over that child with a bulldozer and crushed him. Killed him. But then my neighbor, this is a horrible story. My neighbor had a 3 or 4-year-old son, and he was mowing with a brush hog out in the pasture. And he had the boy sitting on his lap. And they run over a big something, a log or rock or whatever. And it throwed him, and when it did, the boy fell off before he could stop. The boy hit the ground and went under that brush hog. Tore him all to pieces. Let me tell you, a tractor is not a place for children. You know, I don't let my grandchildren come ride on a tractor with me. I don't care if I'm just driving it. I ain't going to let them on it because they might fall off. You know, so I don't want to have to, in fact, I don't have enough faith at this point to pray a child back together that's been cut all to pieces. I hope someday I do have that kind of faith. The King did say, I could ask anything in His name if I can believe it in my heart. He'll do it. But I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And I want to get there. But now then, let's go back to Job 33. If a special messenger from heaven is there to intercede for a person to declare that he is upright. Now then, you know now from that scripture in John 20:23 that you can forgive that person's sins and you can declare they're upright now, right? Yes. Lord, I forgive their sins. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now then, God will be gracious and say, set him free. See, he didn't put Thurman's name in there, did he? He didn't say it had to be me pray for you, did he? All you got to have is somebody that really believes God's word. And that's you. You can pray. God will be gracious and say, set him free. Do not make him die, for I have found a ransom for his life. In other words, we repented of their sins. We're washed in the blood. The ransom for his life was the blood of Jesus, right? Then his body, look at this one. Now, first of all, I don't want to get there. I don't want to get down to that place of cancer, do you? I don't want to get down where I don't even want to eat the most beautiful, delicious foods when it comes in. I don't want to get there. I don't want to be dried up and my bones be aching and the skin's on my flesh just falling off of my bones and then have to come back. But if I did get there, I'd want this kind of an intercessor to come pray for me, wouldn't you? I have found a ransom for him life. Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. So whenever, like Judy that time, when she was so eat up with cancer, breast cancer, and had been that way 2 years and now been given a death sentence by her doctor, that this week you're going to die. And I would have the audacity to think when a lady called me, her friend, and buy me a ticket, and I get up at 5 o'clock and go down there and spend all day and get back home at 10 o'clock that night, that's my entire Saturday. You know that? Are you willing to do that for your king? Oh, you are. Sometimes the pastor says, I need somebody to teach a 30-minute Sunday school class. She said, not me. I can't do that. Not me. Yeah, you're really willing, aren't you? Well, that's not the kind of people Jesus is looking for. He's looking for the kind of people that's walking around looking, Lord, here I am. Can I do something for you today? Lord, I'm available. What can I do today, Lord? Can I be some help somewhere? What can I do? That's the kind of people Jesus is looking for right there. Okay, now then let's go back to those other scriptures, Dave, and let's start all over. Now we start this, let's start with Exodus 23:25. This is a great one. I've had a lot of people say, can you tell me a few verses that will, since you say that sickness is caused by sin, but number one, I didn't say that. I was only repeating what I read in the book. So I'm going to show you a few of those. And you shall, Exodus 23:25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and you shall serve him. Well, I guess it's interpretation of what it means to serve him.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.